I realize that, like I say all the time, that what establishes people is understanding, it's insight, it's understanding that people have, and that is what causes people to be established. The boldness you have to do things in life and not be afraid is simply because of understanding. There's a gist going around. We should get a I don't know if you're on my mailing list. You should get a mail anytime from now on who is going to hell. I have a message I wrote titled, "Who is going to hell?" A tract. You know that the way our tracts are. I'm doing a special edition titled, "Who is going to hell?" So that I just want to help people out these days. You understand what I'm saying? It gets really annoying. You hear people every time asking you that they said they went to hell. They said they were wearing jewelry. I get that question all the time. So once I write that tract, I won't answer it again. I've written it. I'll send it around. All right? About people who went to hellfire. You've not heard it before. Is there hellfire? Yes. Have people had visions and gone there? Yes. But those stories, that one is a lie. I was reading my Bible. I realized that you see it in that message. That what reasons did God give for sending people to hell, sir? Because you can never have a revelation that contradicts this written word of God. And then it will make sense. In fact, I will accept it. What are the reasons God said, okay, that he's going to send people into eternal damnation? And I read it, and none of them, not one, did he even say anything about what they appeared like. And it's in the scriptures, the Bible knows about what people can look like. Yet, when God was going to list those who were cast into the lake of fire, he said the fearful, number one, the unbelieving, the immoral. He listed the things for which sake he would throw them into the lake of fire. And he pointed one thing out. He said, anyone whose name is not found written in the book. And then once the name is found written, the fellow will never be cast into the lake of fire. Never. Because, people just get... Anyway, the main reason why I'm talking about that briefly is that I realized, therefore, I was never perturbed, not one moment. There are things you don't even think about. I refuse to watch the video. But what I'm talking about is that the reason why I was not even moved one bit is because of understanding. God says something simply. I, the Lord, I test the mind. I search the heart. That's why I check when I want to send you to hellfire. It's clear in the scriptures. God said to Samuel clearly, God does not judge as man judges, for he looks at what? The heart. Then a man does a video for me, saying that God judges people by what they look like. And you're starting to believe you. Something's wrong with your head. It says clearly in scriptures that when God wants to judge people, he looks at the heart. Then you went to hell. Then you saw that God judged them according to the exterior. And you want me to believe you? I will never believe you. I don't care whether you went to the hell. Even if I escorted you to the gate, you understand? And you went in alone. I know once you left me, you started telling lies. Now, why am I talking about that? Why am I confident? Why do I talk like this? Why am I not moved? Knowledge. Understanding. Wisdom. That is your stability. That's what gives you stability. So that's why I like to teach and I'll keep talking, Because of what I've been saying a lot about the devil and all of that. And then when I got that David Servant book and I was just going through it, I just felt, since we have not done a school of Bible exegesis for a very long time, then we should just take time out very soon and then start looking at, let me use the expression, divine order. So that, so that people stop chasing Satan. I realized after preaching plenty in recent times, I didn't used to chase Satan before, I didn't used to chase Satan. It's never been my issue. Then after preaching again in recent days, I even chased him less than I was doing before. Before occasionally, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. You will never. I don't even say. I consciously refuse to say some of those things. And to pray about my life, I just refuse to talk about the devil. I consciously, deliberately, I connive with myself to avoid mentioning that name. Unless I'm just declaring the word of God. What I'm trying to say is that. Like I'm just saying to you, Satan will have no part in my life in the name of Jesus. Are you getting my point? I'm just declaring. But to start praying, I want to pray right now. In my life, Satan, I command. It's one new resolution I just made. If I'm praying for myself, praying for my family, I avoid it. It's not, no, go away. That is, I don't want to talk about you. I don't want to talk about you. If my children are sick and I want to pray for them now, I won't say that, Satan, I come against you. No, I will not. It's a new method. Though. It's a vexation thing. What I do now is to just lift up the word of God over them. Thus, it is written, his seed will be mighty upon the earth. That's all. Do you understand? That is what I will be declaring. This is the word of God concerning my children. He said, I will not bear children for calamity. I'm not going to say, Satan, therefore, I'm telling you. That's your problem. If you are deaf, come near. I don't know whether you are getting my point. It is my own job to just lift up the word of God over every situation. Let me tell you the truth. Try it for 1 week. You'll see how your life will improve. Say, this week, if I'm going to rebuke Satan, it must be somebody else's life. If it's devil, somebody in the country, I will do that one. You know, in PDP, I will do it. In APC, I may try that one. But in my own personal life, I won't mention that name. Just say 1 week. I know, just to break the habit. Just say for this 1 week. And I say, what about areas where the devil seems to be trying to work? That's what I'm trying to emphasize on. It is not the devil that's the problem. It's the absence of the word of God. I don't know what I heard. I said, it is not the devil that's the problem. It is that the word of God is not being lifted in that place. That's it. So, most parts of our lives, what's going on is simple. We are totally ignorant of what God has to say about it. So, when things begin to fall apart, all right, we now begin to think it's the devil. The truth is that it's not the devil. You know what I mean? In that sense. Maybe he's trying something. I don't know. Maybe. All right? But the truth is that the word of God is not being uplifted in that area. And people spend a lot of time trying to fight, all right, a battle that they can never win. Because the problem was never the devil. The problem has always been the absence of the word of God in that area. So if you sit up every day fighting the devil, you will never win. You will never win. Do it for 1,000 years, you will never win. I've been looking for a job for the last 2 years. All it's devil has said that. You know, once you start talking like that, you're talking ignorantly. Listen, there's no, you know, the people have said, you know, devil has said, there's nowhere in the Bible that you see that people are making reference to what the devil said and they wanted to win. The only person we make reference to talking about what has been said is what God said. Let me tell you again, I need to say this very boldly. See, all these deliverance people do. Now, you know, Bishop, I hope I'm not sounding like a broken down record. You keep on saying the same thing again and again. But sometimes people are annoying. People don't agree here. So you have to keep talking. All these deliverance people do. If somebody is having problems, you now go and arrange so that they will deliver you so you won't have problems again. I'll say it to you flat. It does not work. What did I say? It does not work. It's a lie. That's even better. There are two forms of people there. There are some who are thoroughly confused. There are ministers, they are confused. My wife was telling me something yesterday about one woman that another man of God now said that she's having some issues, that they are going to arrange that she went for deliverance. Did you say she went or she's planning to go for deliverance? So when you now mention the man who's supposed to do deliverance, I was disappointed. Because and this man of God that supposedly did deliverance, I was angry. Because he's somebody I used to respect, you understand? And this is the second thing he's doing in recent times that really upsetting me. I thought it was somebody that had the word of God. Now you are getting into this deliverance thing, which does not work. You see, it's a lie. It's a lie. You know, you say, are there no demons? There are demons that are not castable. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, you can't just go there, cast them out. Because as soon as you do, they leave. When you are going, they come back. Because there's a reason why they are present. There's a reason why they are present. Until you remove the reason why they are present, they can never go away. And the reason why people are afflicted by Satan, especially Christians, the Bible says it clearly, my people are destroyed for what reason? Lack of knowledge. In the realm of the spirit, I told you before, knowledge is power. Knowledge is not information. No. It's not just how many people in this class know A plus 1 plus 2 raised to power 7. How many people can solve it? That's not a spiritual thing. No. spiritual thing is knowledge is power, it's ability. You know, it's like having a bulldozer and there's some rubble in front of your house. Knowledge, that bulldozer, that's spiritually speaking, that's knowledge. And when a man has it, when a woman has it, it automatically affects the way the person is treated in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting my point? Yes, spiritually. They just know you and they just, you know, they just accord you the respect. Knowledge in the realm of the spirit is a spiritual power. It's a rank. Something like that. It's like you show up. You're in the army. As soon as the other soldiers see you, they see your eagle and one star. They know this man. Everybody, you don't have to utter a word. They just shape up. I served in the army, you know. I saw a lot of things, the way it goes in the army. I remember once I saw some soldiers sitting down on the floor near a gutter, you know, just chatting away. And an officer was passing. And the most senior amongst them just said, "Sit up!" There you go. I said, "God, this place is good to come. People, Christians should join army small." That is, an officer was passing. There were about five people just seated, relaxing in the afternoon. An officer was walking past. The most senior amongst the people seated saw the officer and just backed an order to the other people. "Sit up!" All of them just went like this. Zoom. Monster. And that's it. You know, till now, people laugh. You know, I don't even realize. I still greet Monster till today. I learned it then. I greet you at night. Once you're my superior, it's still Monster. And you know, when people laugh, it takes me a while to realize that I'm saying morning, sir, and it's night. No, in the army, it's always morning, sir. There's no good afternoon, sir. No. You enter 12 midnight, morning, sir. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. That rank, you understand? That rank. I remember once when I was in the motor park. I was with one guy, a junior officer, you know, but an officer, or a lacon. So, there was one sergeant, or an O2. No, a sergeant. A staff sergeant. It was a staff sergeant. He was giving an instruction to one young boy. They were going for border patrol. That one was either a private or a lance corporal. So that boy was misbehaving. So that staff sergeant was warning him, "I will deal with you. Move over here now." So he was standing near where I was standing. I was standing with that lieutenant. He was in mufti. You understand? He wasn't, you know, wearing a uniform. He was in mufti. So we're just gisting. And there was one soldier with us also, who was also like a private or a lance corporal. So that officer heard the commotion, so he turned around. Saw that soldier nearby and said, "Listen, didn't you hear that man call you? Will you go and meet him now?" You understand? Now, that guy just came back from Liberia, so he didn't know this officer. They didn't know each other. So the guy was involved. So he looked at the guy like, "What's your problem? Are you talking to me? What didn't concern you?" You know, that kind of thing. He was working for that officer. And I was shocked because I knew the guy. I was serving then. I knew him. And I knew this, because this guy was in uniform. So I was kind of shocked. I was looking like, what is going on here? Then suddenly, that soldier that was talking, "What's wrong with you? Why are you talking to me like that?" Suddenly came to attention. "Sorry, sir. I'm not talking to you, sir." He suddenly stiffened, saluted. I said, "Sir, not you, sir. Is that foolish boy, sir?" So he, you know, I thought there was another soldier nearby. He pointed at that soldier. He said, "Is that foolish boy? What? Take your time. Don't talk to me again, my friend." Then I now understood what happened. You know, that time I turned to look at him. Like, what's going on here? The other soldier, he stepped back, turned to the guy and did like this. Do you get the point? He took his fingers like this, two stars, and did like this. So that guy said, "Jesus, I'm talking to an officer." He just took two fingers and started tapping his shoulder like, guy, look here. So he looked beyond the other two of us and saw that fellow. That was when he stiffened all of his body. "Sorry, sir. I wasn't talking to you. He's half foolish boy, sir." Because he knew he was dead meat. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, why I told you that story is because that's what knowledge does in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting my point? That's what it does. It gives you a rank. It gives you a rank. So that when you utter instructions, now, just before I came out there, I was reading somewhere. I was in my listening tab there. And the woman said that if you go and check that, Jesus never raised his voice in talking to an evil spirit, never raised his voice. The Lord is shouting, I command, I command. He said, listen, listen, it's ignorance. That Jesus never raised his voice. In fact, you know, I don't know who I was reading. It was analyzing what happened with the madman of Gadara. You understand? That the conversation that went on between those demons and Jesus Christ, people didn't hear it. That is, most of the things that Jesus was speaking, you understand? It was under his breath. Sometimes nobody else was hearing, really, most of the things that was going on between the two of them. All this shouting and shouting and shouting. All the ancestral curses. All this one is ignorance. In real handling of evil spirits, Christians don't raise their voices. The reason is simple, because I told you, what really gives you that, of course, the basic thing is that Jesus has done something for you. You are seated with him far above principalities and powers. On the right hand of God in the heavenlies, that is the rank that Jesus lifted Christians to. And the interesting part is that Satan knows it. The demons know it. Everybody knows it. The only person that doesn't know it a lot of times is a Christian. So he actually expects to pray when he wants to pass through a place where evil spirits are gathered. I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said there are witches on that street as he wants to pass. As I'm coming, I rebuke all of you. You can't do anything. It is fear that's worrying me. It's fear. If a fellow really understood what you do, they say, where are they? They're on that side. Let's go. Ah, what? Wait. Don't worry. When we are approaching, they will move back. And that's the fact. They will understand that when we are approaching, they will move back. That is, we know. Once we are approaching, they will move back. Just like, this is the forest where the evil spirits gather. And we have to go and fetch wood there. And say, don't worry, let's go and fetch our wood. What about evil spirits? When we are coming, they will go. When we finish gathering our wood, if the one that possessed the wood we gathered, we move out and go and look for another wood to possess. Because spirit or no spirit, you will still quench inside fire. You are getting my point? Now, the point I'm making all of this is that it's not like that gives you that manifested rank. Actually, we all have that rank. We all have it. But when we know it, you get my point? When we know it, it shows. That's the point I'm making. It shows in the realm of the spirit. You know, sometimes when I hear the kind of stories some people tell, and I wonder whether it's not the same life I'm living in. I don't know. You get my point? How come I don't have those kind of... Yes. Evil spirit showed up to them at night. Why didn't they come to show up to me at night? Think about it for a moment. It's one of two things. One, those who are just telling lies, you know, they don't know what they are saying. In fact, you know, I was reading that book I was telling you, that David Savant book. He said, when they finished preaching, just like I'm preaching now. And somebody told him that, you know, he was describing how he had a picture of a frog or something, or an artwork of a frog in his house. I don't know whether you have read that one. Okay. And so he was preaching, just talking about somebody say, you have a picture of a frog in your house. Don't you know it can invite evil spirits? So he's like, what? No, my own picture of a frog. No, it's a painting. It's just God's creature. I like it. I painted it. You understand? I put it on the wall. He said, somebody say it can invite evil spirits. He said, I don't think so. So one woman, I heard that and came and said, sir, that one, I disagree with you on that one. No. That something happened. Let me tell you my story. Then he pointed out that have you noticed that it is story they want to tell me now, not scripture. I have spoken from scripture. They want to tell me stories. Then the woman said that sometimes at night she hears sounds. Sounds at night. And the man writing the book, very interesting. He said, sounds that if you listen at night, you will hear sounds. And I hear sounds all the time. I don't know about you. The only time I don't hear sounds is when I'm fast asleep. Because at night, when everywhere is quiet, everything is a sound. I remember when I was in university, I was staying during holidays. That's my later part of the university. The part of the University of Benin I was staying, that's in Hall 4, used to be exceedingly quiet during holidays. We would be medical students, used to be around in school. Now imagine
a corridor that, one day I calculated, must have been more than 200 students living on that row. I will be only two. I remember then, it used to be so quiet, being so deep inside, far from the road, that I used to hear blood flow in my internal carotid artery. Those of you know anatomy. I'm not kidding about it. And it's through my carotid. I'm not joking. It had never happened to me all my life until that period. It was so quiet. You hear the blood flowing. I had to be leaving music on so I could sleep. Because it was so quiet, I was hearing blood flow. So I just leave radio on, all right, at very low volume. Very, very low, but then it now become quiet. I don't know that in my point. So the man said that, hey, come on. What are you talking about? That you hear somebody, didn't say anything. He was looking at the woman. And that sometimes they will open the fridge and things will just fall out by themselves. The man said, if your children didn't arrange the fridge well, when you open the door, won't things fall out? But he kept quiet, he was listening. The woman described like three or four things that I personally experience regularly. Like sometimes I touch the fridge, it's cold outside rather than inside. Instead of me thinking it's an evil spirit, I know somebody didn't lock the freezer well. And the cold air is seeping out and chilling. You know, things like that. So they said, the woman said, when all this happened, they now went to go and call this particular deliverance man. And the man began to deliver. Anoint the house, anoint the premises, cast things out. And then after them, how did the spirit enter into the house? They now began to search. Now go listen to this. So they searched and searched and finally found out, you know, you buy things like, you know, teddy bears, stuffed toys. You know, they call stuffed toys. There was a particular one that's shaped like a frog that they had over there. And they now found that stuffed frog in the toy box of one of the children. And the deliverance man said, that is the frog that brought the evil spirit in. That's the story. That's the story about it. Now, this has not ended. I was reading in the book. The man said that, the woman said, when we try to burn it, so the man said they had to burn, the deliverance man said they had to burn it. This is a toy they bought in the shop. My children have all kinds of things. If you watch Monsters Incorporated, they have this, what do you call it? There's, you know, Mike Wazowski. They have Mike Wazowski. They're just stuffed toys. And then, now he preached, well, I preach all the time. I got the man's book recently. And people say, no, that this one really happened. That's the woman that was telling the whole story. That when they wanted to burn the thing, they didn't refuse to burn. No. That they tried to burn it, they didn't burn. The man said, he didn't say anything. No. But toys are made of fire-resistant equipment so that your children won't be hurt. I don't know whether I get the point. It is not because they are evil spirit possessed. The people who manufacture them so that they can't burn. So that, you know, children, they can toss the thing anywhere so that they won't carry it, enter the kitchen. The thing will catch fire and your child will be on fire or your house will be on fire. Christians decided that it's because it is demon-possessed. That is why the demon resisted the fire. Actually, what I had in mind to tell us again before we pray today is that we should learn to think like victors. Are you getting my point? Yes. Christians think too much like victims. As if the devil is chasing them about. Listen, God is my witness. Father God, you know I'm not lying to your people. I am not in the least afraid of the devil. The person I'm afraid of is God. No, I'm not kidding about it. That's the person that is... Today, now I was reading Kenneth Hagin's book, and I told I read books. So today I read about a chapter of, I believe, in visions again. And I read again when Kenneth Hagin said that he was putting his prophetic ministry first. Sorry, his teaching ministry. And ignoring his prophetic ministry. And God said to him, simply, if you did not fall, he said he fell, maybe like dropped and then landed on his elbow and cracked his elbow. He said that if he didn't fall that fall, we would not have had this discussion. And if we didn't have the discussion, you will have not lived beyond the age of 55. What I say to one, that's the way I read it. So anytime I read it, I quickly review my life. What truth are you refusing to preach because it's not popular? You know, before, I don't want to offend people. Now, I will offend you. That is, you know why? If I offend you, I will live long. If I don't offend you, I die at the age of 55. Which one is better? I'm going to say the truth. The reason is that if you don't say the truth,
you prevent, you see, on this earth, oh God, many things to say. On this earth, God cannot do anything. The word is cannot. What did I say?
Cannot.
What did I say?
Cannot.
God cannot do anything unless he walks with people. Unless he walks through people. So if God wants to correct the body of Christ in Nigeria, somebody must talk. So he gets angrier with those who he gave the truth and commanded them to speak than with those people that are misbehaving. That's why he told Jeremiah, he said, listen, I'm giving you my words. You must not be afraid to utter those words. He said, if you are afraid of them, I will disgrace you before them. So anywhere I send you to, talk. What are you going to say? Anything I put in your mouth. If you get there and there are big chiefs, big presidents, PDP chairmen, all of them gathered, and you are the prophet I gave a word to go and give them, don't withhold the word back. The reason is simple. That is the only chance for anybody to be corrected. So if you refuse to utter those words, are you getting my point? Then the people have absolutely no chance at all. Then you become the problem they have, rather than the disobedience of their hearts. Are you getting what I'm saying? I read that from Kenneth Hagin's word from the Lord that says, you're first of all a prophet before you are a teacher. I just took that, applied it to my own life. And I was I could only do a small review. What am I doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Or what am I supposed to be doing that I'm afraid to do? That's really the problem a lot of times. I quickly check. I said, all right, I hope everything is in order. Father, anything that is not in order, reveal it in the name of Jesus Christ. Less with that, at the age of 54 and a half. You're following my point. Listen, let me just say this to you. The devil can't kill you. He can't. What did I say? Say it. He can't kill me. He can't. He can't kill you. Jesus has delivered you from the power of darkness. The devil can only kill the people he has power over. Even at that time, he still has to take permission. Are you getting my point? So hear it. He can't kill you. Why do I have to say this? Because it's the truth. No witch, no Obanje spirit, no mami water. Sorry, do mami water spirit actually exist? I'm just asking. I don't know. All right. Well, even if they didn't exist before, we Christians have baptized some evil demons with mami water spirit. So they have now taken it our name in Nigeria. You understand? There are some spirits that when they go to America, they have another name. But when they come to Nigeria, they phone them and say, where are you doing now? They say, what's your latitude and your longitude? They say, that's Nigeria. Your name in that place, mami water. When they are casting mami water spirit, run. No, you don't know, demons have to adapt local names in a lot of places. Now, so whether they exist or not, I do not know. What I'm just telling you is that they can't do anything to you. Are you getting my point? Therefore, a Christian never prays with a victim's attitude. That's what I'm saying. In fact, that's what I wanted to say today. A Christian never prays with a victim's attitude. No. You don't pray with a victim's attitude. This devil wants to kill me. Let me pray so that he will not be able to kill me. No. This devil wants to tempt me. Let me pray that he can't tempt me. That's the only valid prayer. That is, of course, Satan doesn't, he won't just show up, today is the day of your temptation. He won't do that. It's life that talks to you. Are you getting my point? It's your friends that advise you. It's when those things come up, that's when we're talking about prayer and personal purification. That is a major thing. That's a major time you pray. When life tries to tell you to, disobey the word of God. Listen, every time Satan is tempting, that's the only place where he has power. Please hear it. It's the only place where he has power. Let me say it again. It is the only place where he has power. When a woman has disobeyed the word of God, therefore, he works hard to ensure you disobey. Has God really said, and let me say this to you, what God says, all right, that he fights you on, one, there's a general word for everybody. But each person also has his own individual word. So anything you are persuaded about concerning the will of God for your life, that's where Satan comes to attack also. And so when you get to that point, that is what we pray about. Has God really said? He said, yes, he really said. Here is the word of God. We use that one to pray. But whether Satan will just get angry one day and kill you by accident, he can't. What did I say? Please, what did I say? What did I say? It's not that he doesn't want to. Who cares?
The issue is that he doesn't have that kind of power. That, you see, Christians now spend all the time because they think they are victims. They spend all the time because they think that they are, you know, the devil can do something to them when he's angry. So let's keep on praying so that we keep fighting him. In fact, we are going to talk about that spiritual warfare again, all right? In School of Bible Exegesis, so that I will take time out, explain to people line by line. We discussed it before when I talked about what Satan wants in your life. Are you getting my point? All right? We'll go through line by line. Let us see precisely what the Bible says. Not to experiences. Nobody's coming to tell me any stories. There are many stories people have told my wife. When my wife will be repeating the story, I'll just be looking like, you know, I don't even want to talk at that moment. I'm angry. I'm angry that she seemed to have believed it. And you don't blame her because the stories are so real. It's always a story of, hey, she knows what I'm talking about now. One day her friend called her and said, ah, hey, Mrs. V, have you heard? What is it? Hey, I knew that God was going to give me the victory. You know, those kind of things. I knew that I was going to, now, understand, I'm adding salt and pepper to the story now. But I can imagine the way it was sounding. I knew that God was going to give me the victory. As we were praying, that somebody finally confessed down from home. I think it worried side. They're always near the water, you know. That they are the ones who have been afflicting me all my life. They are the this, they are this. Our neighbors, they are friends, and that kind of thing. So they have been attacking the family. And the lady talk, finish. Filled my wife's ears with the gist. Filled her own mind with the story. And she, my wife was like, we thank God. So finally she hung up the phone, told me the story. I didn't know how to tell her, baby girl, I don't believe a word of it. One word. I did not believe. One. Well, I was thinking that you must be a wicked soul yourself. For 10 years, witches are afflicting you. And you need them to confess to know you have the victory. Something is wrong with your head. I told you before, there are things that God does for you. Shame. Shame. Shame should not allow you to tell us. Say, finally, the witch confessed that they are the ones that have been afflicted for 5 years. And you say it openly. Go to your bedroom and say, Lord, I hate to embarrass you. Thank you for deliverance, but I will not share this testimony anywhere. Like I told you the other day, it's like me coming and say, brethren, praise the Lord. I'm happy I was able to come here today and preach. Say, why is your shirt all dirty like this? It's one boy, 4 years old. He almost killed me downstairs. Until Israel and Felix sent reinforcement down. I thank God for Israel. Thank God for Felix. It's good to have good men around you. And they came and they bound the boy and they took him away from me. Right now I have the victory. You know, all of you be like, Pastor, are you okay? You do get the age right? Did you say 4 or 45? What did you say? That is how I take testimonies of finally the witches confessed. I'll just be looking at you like this. Listen, I don't believe a word of it. Hey, wait. I do not believe a word of it. If you tell me, you sitting down here, Pastor, you are not there when this one happened. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there when you are confusing yourself. I don't want to be there when your whole family gather the money to buy confusion. They do it. They say that the spirit was running from the roof to one side. You've not seen it before. If you have rats in your roof, wouldn't they run? When you are pursuing rats, many of these roofs, rats, all these village roofs, they are inhabited by rats. People actually go there. They say the people, listen. God help you. Let me just share. I hope you are being blessed. Yes. Listen, I'm a medical doctor by training, all right? One day, I was in a bus park. I was traveling during my youth service here. And one man came selling medicine in bottles that brought out worms from the eyes. Now, so, of course, he was telling the story that all the problems is because of worm. So, he has this drop in your eyes like this, all the worm will come out. So, the man sitting beside me inside the bus, we're waiting for the bus to fill up so we'll take on our journey. The man sitting beside me in the bus, he had this, his eyes were a bit reddish, you understand? It could be many things, I don't know what. So, he dared the man to do the thing in his eyes. So, my mom was like, look, you are bold, though. I happen to know that if you go blind, you are blind. There are things you can't risk. I can't risk some things. Hey. The fellow opened his eyes. This guy had these small ampoules, which he obviously gathered from discarded injection, containers, and dipped a stick, oh, Father in heaven, inside it and dropped in this guy's eyes. And the man sat down there like this. I said, some people are bold. A stranger brings something and puts in your eyes. What if the guy gives you keratitis right there? And then, in fact, if your whole cornea was raised, who are you going to tell? He said, I don't know what they gave me to drink that day. I was sitting there, I was just watching. That man applied it, and he was so confident he walked away. He went to peddle his trade elsewhere. Then finally he said, it takes a few minutes. He came back. He brought something else out of his pocket, told the man to open his eyes, and he began to remove the worm. And I saw the worms. This is the funny part. I tell you the story. I saw two black things elongated like this. He scraped one from the man's eye, showed him. Honestly, I was impressed. I was impressed at this magician's ingenuity. It's magic. What are you saying? I've seen magic before. Kayo Depella came to my church as a house officer. He did things when I was in my house job. You know, he used to be a magician. Many of you may have heard of Professor Pella. You know, there are different generations. Okay? Now, let me know you know Professor Pella. All these other people. You never heard of Professor Pella? Wow. Things don't change, you. This is a new generation. You know Professor Pella? Anyway, Professor Pella, his son, became a magician also. But he now gave his life to Christ along the line. After, you know, when you talk about devil, that's where you find devil. Devil finished that boy. He now gave his life to Christ, and God delivered him, of course. Just like he delivered you and me from the devil's hands. So he began to preach. So one day he came to our church and showed tricks that they used to do. Now, I was sitting in front. You were sitting like this. This is how I was sitting. This man did tricks until he would slow down. You know, he would just say, okay, let me do it again. He will slow down and show you step by step. You have to play your life in slow motion to be able to see how he did it. I'm telling you, touch somebody in the face and bring out money from your head. And we're there all the while. And the man just said, okay, watch. Okay, he just said, watch that this fellow, I'm going to bring out money from his face right now. You just go there, tap the fellow's face, and money will fall. You know what? What? Then he will slow down and do it again. Then that's when he will show you how he distracted you with one motion and how he passed the money from. Even after showing it to you, if he does it again, you still will believe him. Anyway, I've seen things like that before. So this is the point I'm making. This man removed stuff from this man's eyes. But because I was medically trained, I knew that, number one, even if worms were in your eyes, they cannot migrate like that. I know, it's not possible. They just can't migrate like that. I knew of only one condition in which a worm literally will be found in the eyes. Yes, there is. You will see it. And you can't bring it out just like that. These worms were fat. And I found out the man removed the same worm, the same color, the same shape, the same size from the eyes of everybody that submitted themselves to his therapy. At the end of the day, all of them were buying bottles. And that man that sat beside me was laughing, saying, he didn't know that today is the day of his deliverance. Look at it now. All his problem of the eyes has gone away. And in my mind, he said, okay, you're about to go blind. It's magic. That's what I'm going to make. And that's what they do to Christians. Now, why was I not moved? Because I've been trained. I knew the whole anatomy of the eyes. I could draw it for you. The eyes, the orbit, everything. I could count the muscles, how they move. Look, I knew it very well. So I knew there's nothing you're going to drop in that eye that's going to bring that size of worm from where. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. I understood the whole thing. So no matter how much you demonstrated for me, I was not impressed. Because I want you to tell me where this worm was hiding. And how come everybody that had an eye problem suddenly developed the same kind of worm? That's what knowledge does for you. That's why I'm not interested in hearing anybody's story of how they were happy. And go and check all those people who tell the stories that one witch now confess their problems have not come to an end. It cannot come to an end because the witch was never the cause of the problem in the first place. That's the Christians. That fellow finished telling my wife the whole story in the morning. And my wife was like, wow. Is that so? He will thank God, though. When he finished telling me the story, I just kept quiet until later. Baby girl, I don't believe one word like this of that whole story, I don't believe. Her first question, like, are you telling the person is lying? Well, I don't know. Maybe the guy said to wake up in the morning and tell you lies this morning. It's possible. All those people are going to hellfire and seeing people who perm their head. They are all telling lies. I hope you know that. They are all of them are telling lies. It's only the ones that smoke LSD that are not telling lies, in which they really saw visions.